Now, if I wanted to teach you something about faith, say, you know, give you a first lesson, faith 101. Now, remember before we go that last time we talked about to define faith. Anybody remember? What is faith? This is not faith 101, it's just definition. After definition, I'll give you faith 101. What is faith? We did it a month ago. What is faith? Yes. Definition. Come on, church. You have to remember. What is faith? In just a short sentence.
I think it's a blind trust.
Blind trust? Okay. Why blind? Why not just trust?
Unseen, because obviously we have trust in God. So it's a blind trust.
Okay, let's just say, what I would take from that is faith is trust. I will not take blind. You know why? I don't like blind. It's that simple. I don't like anything blind. You know? Yes, but I take trust. Faith is trust. Yes?
Yeah, we spoke about reality of God's word. Faith is real.
Faith is reality of God's word. Yes, but that was not the definition. What is faith? We did it. I continue. Let me this way. What is faith?
According to the Bible, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Okay, so you just give me that Bible verse. Faith is substance. Can I just stop it? I say faith is what? It's substance. And faith is what? Evidence. Hello? Faith is substance. It is tangible. And faith is what? Faith is what? Evidence. Evidence is reliable. Yes, more? So your hand. We finalized on a golden definition. Yes?
Sister Toy says, so faith is believing in things that we don't see.
Faith is believing. Yeah? Faith is trust. Faith is reality. Yeah? You said that? Faith is substance. Faith is evidence. Faith is believing. Anyone? Anyone? I gave you a golden definition last time. I know it's been a month. Okay, open your Bible to Hebrews 11:1, English Standard Version, ESV. ESV. To me, it's the best definition I've found so far. Hebrews 11:1, ESV. Yes. A young person? Yes. Hebrews 11:1, English Standard Version.
Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for.
Now faith is what? The assurance. Faith is assurance.
The convictions of things not seen.
And faith is what? It's conviction. Amen. Faith is assurance. If you are hoping for something, it's not faith. You need assurance. If there's no assurance, you're just being optimistic. And there are some people that are naturally optimistic. I know about two of them in that corner. As I'm looking diagonal like this. They're optimistic. And it's good. It's good to be, I'd rather be around an optimistic person than a pessimistic person. Although, there's some optimism that is not good. Even your optimism, you have to also be realistic. Amen? Yeah? But that's hope. If you have strong optimism, you have strong hope. Amen? But you need assurance. Amen? You need what? Assurance. Faith is the assurance or the substance of things. Oh, I need a breakthrough. I need a breakthrough. You must first need it. Then I'm hoping for what? Breakthrough. You may even be dreaming about it. But you need what? You need assurance. Without assurance, yeah? You're just hanging in the balance. You're waiting for luck. And the way luck works, it can land on anybody at any time. And usually luck lands less than more. When we play the natural lottery, yeah? Not everybody will win. Do you get it? Somebody may be lucky. That's not faith. That's hope. Amen? That's what? Because there's no assurance. You're gambling. Lottery is intelligent gambling. It's not the worst type. Just £1. Or two, I don't know. Yeah? It won't kill you. But if you are taking your whole salary to gamble, that is, yeah, that's not only a sin, it's a big problem. Amen? But you paid your tithe, you give offerings, you paid your bills, you're taking care of your children, and then you put £1. Not a problem. Amen? Faith is assurance. And faith is what? Conviction. So you may meet somebody and say, you people of faith. Everybody has faith. Even the atheist. He has entered a conviction and deceived himself to believe that there's no God. In fact, most atheists, they are not just... You see, it's not that they don't... Most atheists don't believe there's no God. They're just resisting. It's a resistance. And say, I don't want God. That's the real thing they're saying. Because if there's nothing, you don't need to fight against it. If God doesn't exist, you don't need to define yourself by that. It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. If something doesn't exist, it's relevant. I don't need to define myself by something that doesn't exist. So to define myself by something that doesn't exist means that I'm really trying to deny the existence of that thing. And it's a conviction. It's faith. You just faith in the wrong thing. They have a conviction. Praise the Lord. And just to, in order not to repeat the message, just to remind you, where does the assurance come from? Where does the conviction come from? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. You can't see it, at least with your natural eyes. And you can't, you are hoping for it. It's not yet now. It's not in the present. It's something that is yet to happen or yet to come. But where do you get assurance? Or something that is not in the present. Yes? And just reminding you, we did this before. Yes, I did.
Yeah, the word of God.
It's the word. It's the word. Amen? And do you remember I told you that the word of God is written? If it is written, it is legal. Amen? If it's a written document, can be presented as evidence. If you're applying for a mortgage, anybody apply for a mortgage before? Okay. Even you're not even applying for a mortgage, if you want to get rent a new house, what will it tell you? You're moving house and they need you to show proof, identity and all that. What do you present? Anybody?
Payment slip.
Yes.
And proof that you're working.
Mm-hmm. And all that. So what do you actually present to them? What the name of those things called?
Document?
A document. Anybody has a document? Any document? Can you have a document? Needs a document. And is the proof that you presented to get mortgage. Amen? It's legal. It's written. That's why when the devil can just... Every time the devil tried to challenge Jesus and push him off his blessing. You don't know it was a battle for blessing. You think it was just tempting. Every time the devil is tempting you, he's trying to deny you of your blessing. Every time. There is no single time the devil is tempting you that doesn't, it's a fight for your blessing. He's trying to remove you from where you stand so you can lose the blessing. But what did Jesus do? Every time. That's our example. He said what? He gave him what? Evidence. Say evidence. He said it's written. Amen? He said what? It's written. Now the reason why you are not strong in faith is that you don't understand the value of the evidence. Amen? He thought it was just a plastic. He didn't know it was a driving license. You know, some people use their credit card to remove snow from their windscreen. Have anybody ever done that? Somebody must have done that in this church. I'm not trying to embarrass you. It's not a bad thing. Amen. Yeah? It's a plastic. You can use it to remove snow. But it's worth more than that. Amen? It's what? It's worth more than that. When you don't know the value of the evidence you carry, yeah? It will not produce for you any result. Amen? That's the problem. The problem is that you don't appreciate the value of the word of God. That's why Hebrews 11, when it's introduced faith for you, tell you that by faith we understand. Hebrews 11, I think it's 3. That the worlds were created. By what? By the word of God. Please open there. Hebrews 11. I'm just trying to get into the value. At some point, I'm going to digress and say some other things. But Hebrews 11. Verse 3. Yes? A young person. Since I'm carrying you all along. Hebrews 11, 3. Magdalene, I'm sure that your phone is working today. It must work. And Mumba too. Yes. Hebrews 11, 3. Yes.
Through faith, we understand that the
through world. Faith, we understand that one.
The world.
The worlds. What's the world, please? What's the word? What does that mean? The worlds. Let me wait. What's this is teaching. Please, what does it mean when I say the worlds? Anyone? The worlds. What is the worlds? Come on, you know it. It's not a trick question. Yeah?
The scripture.
Yeah, not the word, the world. It's got a oh, the universe. Yeah. Do you even know the meaning of universe? Let's analyze universe. What is uni? What is verse? A statement. So the universe is what? A single statement. Where is that single statement coming from? From God. Hallelujah. Yes, what is word? Yes, you're correct. More. Somebody describe word. What does word? It's with an S. Yeah, it's not tricking. Just continue on that same line. Yes, words. Let me try the young person. Word. When you say the world, the whole world, the universe. The universe covers is actually the words. Is it one word or many words?
Everything in existence.
Everything. Everything that exists. I would say that Colossians is by him all things were created. Where there are things visible or not visible. There are some things that are not visible. Hello? The danger of materialism. You think that everything that exists is only visible things. There are things that are not visible. And they are affecting your life right now. Amen? In fact, the Bible says that the things that are seen, they are temporary. But the things that are not seen, they are eternal. Amen? But everything, whether visible or invisible, whether physical or spiritual, whether earthly or heavenly, yeah? All things were created. By what? By the word of God. That's the value of the word. It means that right now, the word can create or recreate anything that needs to be created or recreated. The word can invade a situation and change it. The word does not... Oh, the word... does not depend on scientific evidence. It produces scientific evidence. Let me say that over again. The word does not depend, the word of God does not depend on scientific evidence. It produces. Because science is the observation of nature. But the word produced nature. And the word can change nature. The old science will say that, oh, we don't know how it happened. But we can confirm. Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord is good. And all the time. Are you following the journey? That's the value of the word. All things were what? Created. That means that I can build my life on it. Amen. This is substance. It's more real than your flesh. Because your flesh is mortal. I don't know. What does it mean when I say your flesh is mortal? What does it mean? What does it mean to be mortal? You know it. See? It's death doomed. Well, I'm not planning to die. I'm planning to be raptured. See, when I'm raptured, it's no longer mortal. Amen? So the word is more real than what you see, what you feel, what you touch. Because What you see, feel, and touch, including the money you earn, is temporary. Of course, you know the money is temporary. Yeah? Anybody doing it as a job here? You have a day. You are doing. How do you say? You're working. Yeah, any money, anybody. Anybody, I need an example. I'm not going to embarrass you. So I just want to ask you, yeah? In the last 10 years, how many times have you paid your salary? Just counting every time money entered. And salary.
Oh. 100%.
Yeah, maybe more. Because sometimes it's bonus. Sometimes, yeah. You know? Amen? So, how much of all that money they paid you is remaining in your account now? You didn't see where I was going yet? Yeah? Amen? It's temporary. It's what? It's temporary. But the Word of God is eternal. You can build your life on the Word. Amen? You see, there are times in your life that you will go through difficulty. Someone say difficulty. Nobody likes to go through difficulty. Do you like to go through difficulty? There are situations that are beyond your manpower. You know what I mean? I mean like your muscle. Anybody has muscles? Who has muscles? Thank you. That's woman power. Amen. You know, sometimes if you are very strong physically, I know someone like that, you just feel that it's a matter of just getting there and fixing it. I know someone, it's almost like they can fix anything. Although now they are older, I don't know if they still have the same capacity. And sometimes you think that every problem, if I can put some good manpower to it, yeah, I will solve it. But some problems don't respond to manpower. Sometimes you think a problem is brain power. Like, you're smart. Are you smart? You are smart. Say, I'm smart. To the glory of God. Because you know that the devil was, Lucifer was smarter than you. You know that. So smartness is not the end of the matter. Amen? You can be smart and yet foolish. If you don't believe me, ask Lucifer. Amen? I would say that he was full of wisdom. And perfect in what? In beauty. Amen. But there are problems that brain power cannot solve. You've cracked your brain. You've stomped your brain. It's called brainstorming. Yeah? But the problem is not responding. Amen? There are some problems that you yourself know that you cannot do anything about it to solve it. It's beyond you. Amen? But it's not beyond what? The Word. This can change your life. It changed my life. It's still changing lives. Amen? But it cannot change your life without your engagement with the Word. Amen? You see, you can know the Word of God in your head, but it will not change your life. The only way the Word of God can change your life is when it moves from your head to where? To your heart. And it can't move to your heart if you are not willing. It's one thing I've learned as a pastor is that you can close your heart. You can know the truth and refuse to allow it. Enter. Hello? You know in your head that this is the truth, but it's not. I'm not accepting. You can't. Because you have free will. Say, I have free will. And God is not in the business of forcing your will. Oh, yes, he will reach out to you. He will move. He will nudge. He will propose. He will tell you. Give you dreams, visions, send people to you. Do everything, but you have to yield. Say, I have to yield. When you yield, miracles can happen. Say, when I yield to God, miracles can happen. And for you to yield, you have to humble yourself. Say, I have to humble myself.
You won't yield if you know. You don't know. This I'm telling you, spiritual truth. You know it in your head. You know. But it never works until you yield. And you will not yield if you feel that you know. Let me give you an example. Like, God has said something in his word. And I will show you some examples today that you should do. You are not doing it. You know it, but you are not doing it. But you believe that if I can work harder, I will solve this problem. So that's your smartness at work. All I need to do is work what? Harder. I will get more money and solve this problem. But what God told you to do in the Bible, you ignored it. Yeah? You are not yielding. You are doing it another way. Yeah? You are just prolonging your journey to breakthrough. Let me give another example. This is common. Many times, you know, Christians don't pay attention to these things. Someone has a problem. And they say, you know what? I'm going to fast and pray. Fasting is important and prayer is important. Don't ever underestimate it. Jesus had to fast and pray. You will never, cannot do better than Jesus. Just accept it. Amen? But they don't come to church regularly. The day they will come, they will be very late. These are principles in the Bible. It's dishonor to God. Yeah? But then you don't pay their tithe. It's dishonor. So you see, you can't break the word of God and then find a way to bamboozle God. Because he knows your heart. The moment you were thinking about it, he saw it. The moment you are rationalizing, okay, if I do that, he saw it. So by not yielding to simple principles of the word on which your life is built, say my life is built on the word. If you take the word away, flesh becomes water. Because your flesh is made of water, if you don't know. How many percentage? How much water are you made of in your body? Biology tell you. Your body is mostly water. Even your brain.
90%.
No, it's not as high as that. Somebody help me. Where's my mic? Where's my mic? Okay, I have it there. Your brain, your smart brain, contains mostly water. What percentage? Yeah? About 70? About 60. About 60. About it? About 2/3. About what?
2/3.
The reason why it works is because the word is upholding it. Scientists have tried to create life. They can't. They call it about Genesis. It never happened. It's never happened. If you like mix all the chemicals, mix all the protein and all the whatever, no life. To have life, you must start with life. Amen? Amen? And the Bible says, and in him was life. And the life was the light of man. It's the light that shines in the darkness. And the darkness cannot. It's not that we not. It can't. You see, when your light is not overcoming the darkness, it is because it's not shining. I know you have light. You know, they say, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine. It's not scriptural. Your light is not lit. Inside your spirit, you have the light of the world. His name is Jesus. He's not a little light. Songs of unbelief. When you believe that your light is lit too, what will you do? You go and hide it under the bed because it's little light. You don't want to be embarrassed. Amen? It's the light of life. Say, I have in my spirit, because I've made Jesus my Lord and my Savior, in my spirit, I have the light of life. Amen? And the Bible says, you see, when the word of God comes into your spirit, it activates that life. In him, he said, in the beginning was the word. And in him, in the word. So when the word comes in, the light in your spirit, you know, like you have a torch light. So you have a lamp, but your battery is weak. What type of light do you get, little or big? I went to a boarding school. Anybody go to a boarding school? You did this of torch light. You use this torch light to the point that you put it on, but you can't see anything. Why? The battery is weak. How do you recharge it now? Hallelujah. I want to think here. I'm just laying some foundation there. So Hebrews 11:6. I said that if I want to teach you faith 101, the first thing I will teach you is Hebrews 11:6. I think if I can soak you in Hebrews 11:6, you've understood faith. Many times people understand faith from only one part. They only understand faith from what God will do. They never understand faith from what man will do. But it's there. It's all there. So Hebrews 11:6, let's have it. I think I've memorized this verse at least since I was 10 years old. It's my spirit. Hebrews 11:6. Yes, somebody? Somebody who has not read today? Yes? Where's your phone? Get it. Because I'm going to call you next time. And don't tell me it's not working. Hebrews 11:6.
But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him.
Anybody here wants to please God? You would love to please God. Please put your hand up if you desire to please God. If your hand is not up, you're not born again. I'm sure. I'm sure. If your hand is not up, you're not born again, you're not sure you're born again. Because if you are born again, in your heart, you want to please God. Oh, maybe you're under pressure, maybe you're under manipulation or control or whatever, and you're not doing it. But in your heart of heart, because you are born again, you want to please God. If you don't have that desire, you're not born again, and you need to. And the way to be born again is very simple. But it's, again, it depends on you. You have to open up your heart. Jesus cannot enter by force. If he could, he would have entered everybody's heart. Have you ever thought about it? Amen. If God could, there are things that God cannot do. God cannot lie. Of course, you know that God cannot lie. But I want to tell you that God cannot save everybody. Not that he can't in his power or he can't in his willingness, but because he gave you free will, he can't force himself into your heart. Because if he could, he would. But if God did, he will be denying his own character. Because God is love. God is what? God is love. That's the one big difference between Jehovah and Allah. Because your will matters. Amen? Your will matters. You can't believe by force. It's by choice. Amen? See, I'm serving a living God. He is love. Amen? Hallelujah? It's by choice. It's not by what? By force. But you know, by choice is more difficult. Because now God has to propose, kneel, beg, nudge. It's like someone trying to marry somebody. Yeah, beg it. Amen? That's love. Because he wants your choice. Yeah? God is not trying to manipulate you. He's trying to bless you. Amen? Every good and perfect gift comes from where? From above. Amen? You know that song says that? He says, there's nothing you can give. You are God alone. He says, what? He says, he's not in need. You are not a God in need of anything we can give. Yeah? But it's mostly true. But it's not totally true. But the song is good. You know why? God needs your love. Because love always demands a response. Say love always demands a response. It's never complete. No matter how loving you are, and you just keep pointing out, the loop is not complete until there's a response. Amen. Hallelujah. God is love. He allowed himself to be in need of your love. Amen. The day he said, let us make man. That's God making himself vulnerable. Hello, let me just explain that again. When God said, let us make man in our own image, God decided to make himself what? God can see ahead what man can do to him. Amen. But love is so strong that it needs fellowship, it needs relationship, it needs response. Amen. And I've told you before, I said, when God said, let us make man, he's really saying, let us have a family. Amen. Because he said, after in our own image and after our own, that's family. That's family. You see a child now and you see someone that they look like. We not see them from the same family. Like someone here looks like Brother Tosi. God said, let's make a family. And who will members of this family be? Human beings. Not angels, but human. Angels are created to be messengers. But we are created to be sons and daughters of God. Bible says that, behold, what manner of love, 1 John chapter 3, yeah, is this, that we should be called what? The members of the family of God. Hallelujah. God is good. And all the time. So this faith 101, without faith, it is what? Did he say it's unlikely? Is what? What's the difference between impossible and unlikely? Any difference between impossible and unlikely? Yes?
Impossible, it can never happen.
It can never happen. I like it, the way you said it, because it just strikes it. Impossible means it can never happen. Yes, unlikely?
Unlikely is the 50-50 chance.
Or maybe less. You can say, 70-30. You say, oh, I'm going to do a master. I say, in your first degree, you struggled. You used another 2 years to finish. How will you ever pass your master's? It's unlikely. Yeah. But you may still pass. But impossible means what? It can't. It can't. Without faith, what? It is what? You can't please God. It doesn't matter if you have a title in the church. Or you are the pastor or the bishop. It doesn't matter. Without faith, you can't believe. And faith is a living thing. It's not like, I had faith many years ago. I gave my life to Christ. So, no. Faith is a living thing. Faith is what? It's a living thing. Any part of my life, anything I'm doing, if I'm not living by faith, I'm not pleasing God. The reason is this. Let me explain to you. For you to live by faith, you need to walk in the light of the word. Any time and in any aspect of your life that you're not walking in the light of the word, you are not in faith in that part of your life. And I tell you, it doesn't matter how many years you've been a Christian, you are not pleasing God in that aspect. It doesn't mean that God has rejected you totally, but in that aspect, that you are not walking in the light of the word, you are not living by faith, and God is not pleased. Can you follow? Now, he said, let me explain why. He said, anyone that comes to God, what's the first thing you need to do when you are coming to God? What's the first thing you need to do? You read it. What is the first thing? If you come to God, what do you, Hebrews 11:6, check it. Hebrews 11:6, what's the first thing? I'm coming to God. Yeah? What's the first thing I need?
You must believe there is a rewarder of those who diligently.
Yeah, that's second. Second. Check it again. Don't worry. It's teaching. Teaching will help you. Yes. So what's the first thing?
Yeah, he exists.
You know? What does it mean to be that God exists? It's not trivial. I'll show you. Anyway, tell me, try. What does it mean that I believe that God exists? Being reliant, yes. More? Just go back to that statement. You believe that God exists. What does it mean? I have to take that. Go on.
Acknowledging him.
Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your understanding. If I'm leaning on my understanding, am I believing that God is? Yes?
Yeah, believing that he's sovereign. And that
yes, he's sovereign. Yes. Let me give you my own version. To believe that he is, you must see him in everything. Don't think that God is far away. If you think that God is far away, you will misbehave and do bad things. And you will say you didn't do anything wrong. Because God is far. God is in heaven. You know, the Bible says in Romans, it says, we shall ascend to heaven to bring Christ down. He said the word is near you. Where is the word? It's near you. He's there. If I see God, it affects the way I live my life. It affects the way I believe in him. It affects the way I approach problems. It affects the way I treat the men of God. These are all principles. Because you can break it, but you can, you know, like somebody, a man of God, yeah, treated you right. When you were under their ministry, your life changed. The breakthrough you never had before in your life, you had it. Are you following my story? And you walk away and call them trash and rubbish. You didn't see God. And it has consequences. Nobody has to say anything bad or lay a curse. You have broken a law. And there are consequences. Amen? It's the word of God. The scripture cannot be broken. Amen? To receive and not to appreciate and give back. You are breaking the word. Let me open your Bible to 1 Timothy 4. Time is gone, so I'll try to round up now. Let's round up on this. Obviously, I won't tell you that the message is not finished today. It's part 3. There'll be 4 and 5 and 6. 1 Timothy 4. Somebody read for me verse. Let me finish on that note since I went there. 1 Timothy 4. First Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 to 18. Last reading. Kevin, you've been quiet. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17 to 18. Tell us which version.
New King James Version.
Yes.
Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. And the laborer is worthy of his wages.
Amen. Who was he talking about there? He's talking about ministers of the gospel. Yeah? Amen? He's talking about that man of God that came into your life and made a difference. Amen? He could be a pastor, a prophet, an apostle, an evangelist, or a teacher. Did he already teach in there? Now listen, when a man of God, yeah, ministers to you and you have an uncommon blessing, now note the word, something shifted in the right direction, yeah, how should you respond to them? What should you do? Say, yeah, Father said, you have been received the blessing now. How should you respond to them? Just walk away and just thank God that they're just doing their job. What should you do? Anybody? Sorry? Oh, you're very, very good. Just like they prayed for you. Yes?
Find a way to be a blessing to them and yes. Around you.
Well. Like, for example, what do you have?
Oh, it could be a gift, a financial gift.
A gift. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody? Anybody? Yes. Actually, it's in your Bible. Amen. It's in your Bible. Yeah? It's in your Bible. It talks about the prophet's reward. Is there? Amen. Is there? When a man of God has been used to bless your life, Bible says that you should count them worthy of honor. No. What? Double honor. And it says that you should not muzzle the ox that treks out the corn. Let me explain that. Maybe you never understood it. What it means is that you add corn. It's what in the ox that add corn. The horse was minding his business. The ox. Yeah? The ox is like a cow, a bull, or something. Yeah. You add corn. You just add harvest. And corn is there on the cob. Yeah? But one way or the other, it's on the cob. You don't want it on the cob. You want it to be freed. So you can't help yourself. You can't do it. So you brought in the ox. The ox, you know, I think it's by faith, walking by and drawing stuff, they remove the corn. But you know what you did? You padlock his mouth. Now this corn, you will not taste out of it. The Bible says it's evil. It is what?
It's evil.
The Bible says that when we have sown to you spiritually, is it a terrible thing that we should reap material things for you? So when a man of God has used them in your life to give you a blessing, a breakthrough, you should respond back with a gift offering. It's the Bible. Sometimes just in prayer and fasting cannot solve it. It's the word of God. If you break it, you can't fast around it. You can only repent. Now, you don't give a man of God that blessed you your tithe. Why? Why? What? The tithe belongs in the Old Testament, yeah? You have to pay your tithe to the temple. But you still give prophet gift offering. Old Testament. Your tithe goes to where? The temple. But that doesn't mean that prophet will go empty. Yeah? You will still bless them. Amen? The tithe belongs to the Lord. And the only way you're going to give God his tithe in the Old Testament is his temple. In the New Testament, the only way you're going to give Jesus his tithe is his church. The church is the body. The tithe does not belong to an individual. It belongs to what? The body. Are you following what I'm teaching you? It belongs to the body of Christ. So say, where is Jesus? Jesus is in heaven. What can I give him? He has a body. Say, Jesus has a body. And his body is on the earth. And that body is what? The church. But that doesn't mean, the fact that paid your tithe to the church does not mean you should not appreciate your man of God. And I just want to explain to you, just in case you didn't understand it. Your man of God is not just a prophet that came. There's one man of God that has labored above all of them in your life. Who is that? Anybody? Who is the man of God that you come in contact with most of the time and does the most labor for you? They don't just teach you. They visit you. They pray for you. They cry with you. And they laugh with you. Who does that for you?
Pastor Ben.
It's your pastor. It's your pastor. Well, maybe one day you're working and they give you a bonus. You have to remember your pastor. Because some breakthroughs will not come to your life if you are breaking that rule. There's nothing you can do about it. It's not me that wrote it. It's Jesus. It's the word. Amen? If you are dishonoring, disrespecting the man of God that God is using to move your life forward, you are fighting against your own blessing. It's the word of God. You can't break it. There's nothing you can do about it. Amen? Because it's a law. It's a spiritual law. Now, what am I saying? Faith without corresponding actions is what? It's dead. It's dead. It doesn't matter the faith you claim you have. If you're not going to do something in corresponding to that belief, someone say, look, I need a breakthrough. You know? I need a breakthrough. It's like I'm never in enough. I need a financial breakthrough. Yeah? And then you will pray. Won't you pray? Samari, won't you pray? You will pray and say, Lord, give me what? A financial breakthrough. Amen? But the word of God has told you. He said, honor the Lord with what? Your substance. How can you destroy that word and expel God to now give you the breakthrough? For him to do it, he has to deny himself. So the only other pathway to that breakthrough is that you are going to overwork yourself. And you are going to store up that money and it may disappear by a devourer one day. Because it's the word. It's not me, it's the word. So if I want to practicalize my faith that I believe God, yeah, that I'm going to move from where I am, not enough to... Normally, you don't jump to more than enough quickly. You move from not enough to just enough. Yeah? You know, not enough, but then you move to just about managing. the stages. Then after, but it's a journey of perseverance in obedience to God. The Bible says by faith, Noah, yeah, he built an ark. Do you know how long Noah built this ark for? Yeah, they call that if you need to move at any time, you're free. Yeah? 120 years. Hello? If it's me or you, wouldn't you have given up? All is depending on is what God has told him. He's never seen rain. Never. By faith, Noah built an ark. And he became the inheritance. He became the head of the world. We all came from Noah. All of them. Because every other person was wiped off. But how? How did he get that uncommon blessing? For 120 years, he's persevering in obeying God. In fact, the way I understand the Bible, I've done my calculations. When God told Noah to be the ark, he was not yet married. Check your Bible. Genesis 5, you don't read it. You just say, all these ages. Adam was now 30 days. And you say, okay, they have meaning. The Bible says they were all giving back to their son. Not necessarily their first son, but around 100 what they gave back to this. In Noah's case, Noah was 500 years. No child. Why? Anybody tell me? Why would Noah be 500 years and no child? 500 years. You know why? Can you guess? My thinking is that because he's the only outlier in the own list. And we know that nothing was wrong with him because he had children later. He didn't want to have children. He was not married. Why was he not married? Because the evil was too much. He just said, let me just, you know, keep myself. But he was the only one that was righteous. Imagine everybody around you is corrupted. Only you. You can't even find a wife. How can you find a wife? 500 years, he was not married. But when God spoke to him and said, there will be a flood, God also told him the solutions. You know, because if Noah, imagine Noah entered the ark, only Noah. What will happen? The world is over. For God to fulfill his promise to Noah, he needs a wife and he needs children. See how faith changes life. He's a single person who's going to die single because the world is corrupt. He can't find a wife. But when he started listening to God, God provided a wife for him. I won't tell you that in this sermon, but it's in your Bible. It's in Genesis 4. Not only did God provide him a wife, God gave him what? 3 sons. And 3 daughters. Now I'm saying these are deep. You have to think about them. Who was the wife of Cain? And Seth. It's their sisters, isn't it? Yeah. Adam and Eve. No other person to marry. No, that was not incest. Incest came up later. Amen? Like if you are living in Basingstoke, yeah, and you are only 10 people in Basingstoke, will you have to park in a parking lane? 10 people in Basingstoke. You park anywhere because there's not much people. Yeah? But now, when Basingstoke has 200,000 people, if you park anywhere, what will you get? That's the love. Amen? I'm just showing you how God changed Noah's life. No spouse. No child. At 500, let's just say 490 years old. While I started listening to God, God showed him the way. He was able to find a pure, uncorrupted bride somewhere in this world. Only God could have given him. I said only God could have. Sometimes you are trying to solve your problem. You are packaging yourself in the physical, thinking that you will solve. You may attract the wrong person. You need to trust God. Only God can give you a good spouse. Yeah. And let me also say, if you are married and you are having problems, problems happen. I've also faced problems. Amen. Only God can change your situation. Don't just depend on brain power and packaging power. You may attract more problems. Amen? He gave him a bride and gave him a children. And they were all building for 120 years. Well, the day came. Yeah? When they entered. God locked the door. Yeah? That was the day of justification. That flood came and wiped out everybody. Only Noah and his family survive. And that's why we are still here today. Amen? Let's rise up and pray. I hope that I've stimulated you. I've just taught you faith. When you come to God, you must believe that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And to diligently seek God, you must be willing to sacrifice. When you want to obey God, when the results are not yet there, it's sacrificial. Say, when you say obeying God, when you cannot see the results, it's sacrificial. But you know, what will make it worth is that when the results come, they will more than justify your sacrifice. But if you're not willing to sacrifice in obeying God, when you cannot yet see the material, you will never enter that supernatural blessing. Oh, yes, you can enter some achievement through your manpower and your brain power. But if you want a supernatural blessing, a breakthrough, something that your manpower and your brain power cannot deliver, you will need to sacrifice in obedience to God. You will need to honor God first. Then, as you persevere, the result will come. And you know that it's uncommon breakthrough, uncommon. People say, how did you do it? He said, I don't know. It's God. Amen? Talk to God today. Talk to God. God is speaking to you. We are talking about faith. It's still the same faith we talk about. We just show you, you know, the depth of faith. What it means to walk with God. Bible says, by faith, Noah walked with God. Hallelujah. By faith, he became heir. You know, he became the heir of righteousness. One man became heir of righteousness because he obeyed God. He made the sacrifice. He faced, you know, difficulty. But obeying God. And then God came through. That's how God works. Anyway, you've not honored God. Anyway, you've not honored the man of God in your life. Repent of it. Don't put it under the carpet. It can block your blessing. There's nothing that can block your blessing more than dishonor. Nothing more. Repent and say, Lord, for everyone you have used in my life to move my life forward, I want to learn to honor them. And to appreciate them. Hallelujah. You see, when